Alt NPR.
Support for NPR podcasts comes from Acura, featuring the all-new MDX with super-handling all-wheel drive. More information is available at Acura.com.
Welcome to Press Start, an all NPR podcast about the art and craft of video games. I'm Ralph Cooper.
I'm Kyle Orland.
And I'm Rob Holt.
And this time, we're going to kind of come to you in a real big ball. We're going to give you guys our predictions for the upcoming 07 year. Fortunately, we play games and we can review games, but then we can just do what we like. And that's what we're going to do.
Just total random guesses.
Yeah, just, you know, this is like the Nostradamus thing we got going. You know what I'm saying? Like we're going to bring you what we see coming up, and we're also going to begin by taking a quick look at some of the stuff that popped off in 2006. I think it was a pretty big year for video games and the culture and everything. We saw a lot pushed to new heights.
Yeah, you know, every year the video game magazines and stuff say, oh, this was the best year for gaming ever, you know. And 2006, I don't know if it was the best year ever for gaming, but it was pretty good.
We got darn good.
We got two new system launches, right. The end there, the Wii,
right.
And the PS3. We got a lot of great Xbox 360 games coming down the pike in its first year. The PC was taking off.
I think this year was the first year for the DS Lite, too, as well, wasn't it?
The DS Lite came out just the end of last year, I think.
Yeah, so I don't know. I say, like, this was the year of it. When you look at it, also in the handheld console wars.
Yeah.
This is the year of the DS.
This is the year the DS really exploded.
Yeah, the DS just absolutely put a foot in the boo hole of the PSP. It was ugly. It was ugly. We all saw it. You know,
it beat it in December by like 500,000 systems,
right.
Which is ridiculous.
Right. And let's not forget what the key to that was. The two key games that came that did it for him was Super Mario Brothers.
Definitely.
And Brain Age.
And Brain Age. Getting a whole new audience.
Right. Getting your moms to play the game. You know what I'm saying? Taking your DS.
The graphics on the DS are not as good as the screen on the PSP.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
And it's the same with the Wii, you know, so it worked for them. They absolutely crushed Sony, and the games are just awesome, and, you know, and lots of great games came out for the DS this year. I love Elite Beat Agents, and the second Brain Age is great. I play that thing a lot.
Star Fox was pretty good.
Yeah, Star Fox was great.
But the thing is, even with all these new systems, the DS kind of gets into this. The DS and the PlayStation 2 was also a big selling system. It sold more than all the new systems combined, I believe.
Wow.
Over the years.
Because it's so cheap.
It's so cheap.
Huge library. There's so many great games for the PS2
I think it hit over 110 million units worldwide, which is just ridiculous.
That's
I don't think the NES sold that many, or it's close.
Mm.
It's just total dominance.
Mm. Think about all the great games for the PS2. Like, someone on our forums the other day said, our forums, by the way, are at PressStartPodcast.com.
Shameless plug.
But someone on our forums the other day was saying, you know, I just got a new GameCube, and we basically said, here's all the games you need.
Mm-hmm.
And just imagine somebody getting a PS2 for the first time. It's like,
oh, man, there's so many
more
games
you need, you know.
Pretty much every game of the last, you know, 5 years has shown up on PS2. They're
stuck in a bedroom, you know what I'm saying, for like months trying to go through that catalog of games.
And there's still new ones coming out. God of War 2 is going to be on the PlayStation 2 in 2007. It might have good life into this whole PlayStation 3 debacle where it's not selling what Sony was expecting. The $600 price tag isn't doing it. But what hurts the PS3 actually helps the PS2.
It really does.
When you go to the store and you say, oh, there's no PS3s, or there are PS3s, but you don't want to spend that much money, then you look at the PS2 and say, oh, it's less than $150. It's got hundreds and hundreds of excellent games.
You can go online.
You can get
the
online stuff.
You can play people all over the world. And finally, I must admit that Sony really captured the online audience for a change. You know, Xbox is what Xbox is. They do very well with their Xbox Live is excellent. 360 one is nice as well. But when Sony first dropped that online, they were really bad.
Yeah.
It was really bad, had a lot of complaints, and give Sony credit for change, I guess.
Wait, what good about it now?
I mean, I think it plays better. It's definitely not as hard to get online. When you really look at the way that it started, where it was hard, you had a lot of drops, you had the analog plus the broadband, you could never really tell who was playing who. All of that stuff now is very broken down. It's a little bit easier, and I have to give them credit for that. And it definitely helps sell the system.
That's true.
Yeah, but they're still failing on the non. The thing that kills Sony for me, the single sign-on, the fact there is no single sign-on for PS2 network games, that kills it for me. Like, I don't want a different sign-on for every different game.
I agree with
that's
that.
That's a little annoying, but I think really what helps Xbox Live be better than the PlayStation Network is the uniform experience. It's not just the single sign-on, but it's the single thing for everything. You can send emails to your friends. Right. The interface for it is very good.
The voice chat, all that kind of stuff.
Downloading the games and demos from Xbox Live Arcade, which has just taken off in the last year.
Outstanding. And I have to say, last year was the year of the retro game.
It really was.
Last year was the year of the retro game.
So many compilations coming out.
I so love all of you out-of-the-closet gamer folks coming out now. You know, the only reason you're really playing is because you can finally play Super Mario again, or, you know, you can finally play breakout games you can understand, whatever. You had to get the 360 or the Wii to do it. So welcome to the rest of the age with the rest of us.
Yeah, now that you've played Super Mario Brothers again, you can actually buy Zelda.
How about that?
The new Zelda.
Right, stretch it out.
I also really like the modern retro games, like, you know, Geometry Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Blast Factor on the PS3.
Magnetica.
Same type of thing, yeah. That whole retro aesthetic is kind of coming into vogue. Now that the graphics are kind of maxing out, it's really hard to get, you know, better graphics. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of diminishing returns. So they're saying, hey, 20 years ago, we didn't have these great graphics, but people were playing these games by the millions. There's no reason that even though we have all this new hardware, we can't do these really simple, not graphically intense games and make them sell and make them good.
And you know what's crazy? And it might just be me, but what I like about the retro games is when you were a kid, that's all there were. And once you've beaten or scored 999,099,000 points, you didn't want to play the game anymore. And now, like, it's all of a sudden, it's like it's brand new. It's like, oh, wow, I wonder if I could still beat that.
Yeah,
like, I was playing Sonic, and I just started hitting off just rooms. I was going all through the level, and I was like, man, how do I remember this? Like,
It's just like muscle memory.
Yo, I remember it, like, verbatim. I had it all down.
It's ingrained in your soul.
It's scary.
The thing about those old games is they were really hard. When you compare them to today's games, it's a lot of them, it's more about progressing the story than actually succeeding at a tough task, which is okay. You know, they're trying to make it accessible to a lot of people who haven't been playing for a while. With these old games, they had to make them hard because they were so small and you couldn't save. So to make them, you know, worth the money, to make you play it for longer than just an hour, they had to make it so tough that you wanted to throw the controller through the screen. And
that's the other thing I noticed when I was playing Sonic. I played Sonic a couple of weeks ago, too, and I was playing, and I was like, okay, I'll save now. Oh, wait a minute. We couldn't save.
No save.
Right.
We had to leave the Genesis on. Like, uh-huh. The Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
And then there'd be a power outage.
Or something wild would happen. Your parents would be cleaning and be like, they left on that machine. You turn it on. Yeah. Like, no!
You got to put, like, a note on there.
Right. Don't
turn
touch.
This off.
But in all the emulators on the PC and on, you know, a lot of these, you know, Sonic Collection or whatever, you can save the state of the machine, so you're saving what's in the memory at the time and powering it off virtually. It's
and that
really
totally
cool.
Changes the game when you can save at any time you want.
Right.
That's right.
So what else happened this year?
I think also it was the year for Frostbite. Like, people waiting in line.
Oh, definitely.
You know, that whole, I love the phenomena. I can't front. I really enjoy it. I will never do it. However, I enjoy watching the cats go outside and wait in line and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's crazy to see the heights that things got to as well.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, I heard up in Greenbelt, supposedly somebody jacked a shipment of PS3s.
In Greenbelt?
Not one or two people, a shipment of PS3s. Like,
Japan,
it was crazy.
Was
people were getting shot and just nuts over the games. And, like, you know, the line in hip hop is, you know, I never thought hip hop would take it this far. It's like video games. Are you
I never thought we'd take video games.
Yeah,
this
you
far.
Know what I'm saying? Or thug on video games now. I think it's crazy.
Yeah, I've got to admit, I when they started the Wii pre-orders at GameStop, I was out there 2 hours before the opening, and I was first in line. I was waiting. I didn't have any of these really dramatic things that were happening for, like, the PS3 launch, but it was nice. It was kind of about 24 people came out, and they were all, you know, the hardest of the hardcore gamers, needed to get their Wii. On day one, we had a nice little conversation. A bunch of us had our DSs. We played Mario Kart, you know. So it's without the arcades around, this is the closest thing you get to, like, a gathering place almost for gamers in the physical space, not in, like, an online.
I could dig that. I could dig that. I think what else did we see that was ill this year? The Wii. Should we talk about the Wii?
We've kind of
we've talked
a lot about the Wii.
We have covered the Wii more than anyone else may have Wii'd in video game media right now.
One thing we didn't talk about, really, with the Wii, though, is these controllers flying out and destroying TVs and destroying rooms.
Yeah, but I put a slash on that. And if you want to talk about the flying controllers, you also have to talk about the mods. People have been modding.
That's true.
I mean, I saw one on YouTube, I want to say, or in Gadget. I'm not sure. It's one or the other.
Uh-huh.
But for the first player, the light was green. For the second player, the light was red. For the third player, the light was blue. And the fourth player, I think it was yellow. They changed the LEDs.
And
they added a power source. And I was like, oh, that's nasty. That's neat.
I've also seen a mod where they're taking it and hooking it up to the PC or the Mac. And
yeah, those are my favorite.
World of Warcraft with it.
Yeah,
know?
I've seen for Half-Life 2, too. They're playing.
Wow.
They use it kind of like a mouse. You know, you tilt it up and it moves the mouse up and you use the D-pad on there. It's like a one-handed controller.
Oh, that's wrong.
But my favorite Wii hack that I've seen on the PC is one that kind of emulates a guitar, where you hold one remote at an angle to emulate the frets, and you do strumming with the other one, and it's two remotes, and it's like air guitar made real.
That's what I
There's other ones for drums, for controlling RC cars. I mean, they're going crazy with this technology. Any TC with a Bluetooth connection, you can do this stuff, so check it out.
And I know you've seen the candles.
The candles, I did that.
Oh, really?
That's the menorah?
You did the menorah one? Oh, that's ridiculous. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about here, it is not a rumor. It is very true.
You can find it on YouTube.
You can disconnect the sensor bar from your Wii and place candles, I want to say.
Any light source. Just two light sources.
Yeah, two separated. Light sources separated parallel to the screen. And you can still use the Wii Remote. And supposedly it works well. I've heard from a number of people that it works really well. And now I must admit, my podcast surprise, I had no idea that our own Kyle Orland did the menorah. I'm absolutely impressed, sir. That was great. I saw that. I've watched all of that stuff and been
I saw the menorah on like the fifth night of Hanukkah, and I was like, hey, you know, I've seen all these things with candles. These are candles. Let's see if it works. And sure enough, you know, there were five different light sources, and it still was a pretty good sensor bar there.
That's great.
So
I wish we'd have tried that at Kwanzaa. That's another idea.
It would have been good for Kwanzaa too. Works for any light source, like
that's
I said.
That's a great idea. Damn.
So one of the other. We're big dorks.
Great big dorks. That's wonderful.
Speaking of gatherings of big dorks, another big thing that went away this year was E3, the big video game show, announced it was scaling back in a big way. Now they've renamed it the E for All Expo.
Boo.
God.
Or GamePro has something to do with it. I really haven't been following it that closely, but it's an end of an era.
It really is. I'm glad. I mean, I wish I'd have been with Press Start when I mistakenly went to the one that I went to. But, you know, it is one of those things where if you've never really had a chance to experience the E3 or to see what it's like, it's
too late.
Yeah, basically. I'm sorry.
Which show is going to, you know, take the place of E3? Nothing's really stepped up to be that real force, that one time a year thing where everyone has to be there. Everyone has to show off their new game.
Right.
It's now spread out throughout the whole year and totally changes the landscape of the business and the coverage. And
one of the good ones is out here is the PAX, the Penny Arcade Expo.
Yeah. And that one's open to everyone. That's not just for press and people. That's anyone who wants to come. And it's been getting bigger and bigger each year. Mm. It's a true gamers festival. I've never been out there. Rob, have you gone to see it?
No, but I'm going next year.
All right.
That's what's up. We're going to expect a report.
Yeah, definitely.
I think now at this point we're going to try and move on and get to the fun part here, our predictions, and throw things out there for 2007 and to look at, you know, where we're going to go. And I don't know. Kyle, I feel as though a mystic force has come over the room and there's a crystal ball and there's smoke and haze. Rob, I'm sure your car is hazed up right now. I'm sure that you can see. Yes, you can see the crystal ball. And I do believe it is rolling like the game of, you know, spin the bottle towards
or Katamari Damacy.
Boom. Super right. Monkey Ball.
So what's going to happen next year? My big prediction, and this I thought was going to happen last year, but now I'm even more sure it's going to happen this year, is that Microsoft is going to lower the price of the Xbox 360 at least $50. Mm. So down to $350 for the high pack and $250 for the small one. And that'll force the other game makers to lower their prices as well. I think it's been too long out there at these high prices. It's trying to get out to a more mass market price. They've sold 10 million units now, which worldwide, which is kind of the cutoff for mass market acceptance. Now, to get more people, I think they're going to start lowering the price. We've been hearing rumors that the actual chipset inside is costing them less, so they're making a nice profit. They can cut into that profit a little to get more user base out there, get more games, extend the head start they've had for this year going into Christmas. I'd say probably likely to happen, I'd say early third quarter. A few other things I just jotted down off the top of my head.
Okay, go ahead.
Nintendo will announce support for Saturn and Dreamcast games on the Wii Virtual Console. I have no reason to think why they would actually do this, except that it would be cool, and that Sega...
I'd like to add on. Also Atari.
Atari 2600?
Uh-huh.
Just every classic system.
5200, 7800.
You already got the TurboGrafx-16 and Genesis. Just keep throwing them in there. Neo Geo. We love it. Amiga.
You know
Commodore 64.
Let's go hard. ColecoVision.
Yeah, in a Commodore 64, it would be on at that point.
Yo, for real? Nah, for real? ColecoVision. If you bring back Rocky, son. Oh, yo, I'm so for that.
Another thing, Game Boy games.
Ooh, okay.
Classic Game Boy, Super Mario Land, Kirby's Dream Land.
Nice.
That'd be great.
Okay. I'm with that prediction.
I think Metal Gear Solid, it's been rumored that it's not going to be a PlayStation 3 exclusive. I think that's actually going to happen. It's going to come out on the Xbox 360 as well. And that'll leave Sony in an even more precarious position. They'll only have, really, Final Fantasy as this super mega franchise that's exclusive to them. They've already lost, you know, Grand Theft Auto, Virtua Fighter. I think it's going to snowball into Metal Gear Solid as well. And I think Sony's finally going to step it up in the portable area, announce a new PlayStation Portable that'll have some sort of wireless phone capability. Hmm. And Nintendo will respond with just an attachment to the DS, because the DS is doing well enough anyway. They're not going to do a total redesign. So what are your actual predictions for 2007, Rob?
I think we're going to see a big resurgence or a surge in PC gaming. It really depresses me when I go into stores and they have, you know, three PC games, and with the huge success of World of Warcraft, and they have 8 million subscribers, and just seeing the excitement around the Burning Crusade launch that just happened. I'm playing all these great PC games now, like Rainbow Six Vegas, also available on other platforms, but I just really see, and with the release of Vista and the new DirectX 10, I think that the PC gaming is gonna come into its own even more so.
And supposedly Spore is going to come out this year, too.
Oh, my God. Were you there and saw Robin Williams do the thing with Will Wright?
I was there.
He's a creature that can kiss its own ass.
That was pretty good.
Was that amazing to watch?
It was pretty amazing to watch. It still seemed a little rough, but, you know, it's not supposed to come out for another 6 months at least. It's whenever it's ready thing. So if it does come out this year, whenever it comes out, it's going to be huge. It's going to be like The Sims, which is the best-selling game of all time. It's going to be an even bigger thing than that. It's like Sim everything, basically. Any game you've ever seen has some element of it in there. There's like a Pac-Man minigame. There's a shooter in there. There's Civilization type game. I mean, it has the potential, with Will Wright behind it, to be the biggest game ever, I think. Rob, do you think World of Warcraft is actually hurting the PC market and that it's taking away from all these other games, or that do you think that other games are going to actually break through as well?
I don't think it's hurting it, because World of Warcraft is sort of a game unto itself, and when you play that, it's like crack and you can't stop, and it really sort of whets your appetite for other games, actually, because after a while you're just like, okay, I'm so tired of it, I've been playing this for 5 hours, what else can I play now? Or can I go out and walk, you know?
See the sun a little bit.
We don't get that out here in Redmond, so.
There's a great big world outside, even if there's no sun.
That's right.
Well, I turn for predictions. All right, my first prediction, I guess I'll be somewhat serious and say that I think 07 will be the year of the battle of the sports games. I think that EA is forced and took football. Mm-hmm. 2K is forced and taken basketball. The only real fighting ground left, fortunately for people like me, is the soccer arena.
Oh, yeah.
And I have to wait for Winning 11 to come out this year, which is supposed to be really nice for the 360. And it has to be a step up from the 360 FIFA. So because it sucks. The Xbox FIFA was all the way around the game of the year last year as far as sports games are concerned. However, the version for the 360 was rushed, and it just really wasn't that good. Yeah, you know, and it happened with a lot of the sports games as well. So I'm looking forward to a more competitive season with the sports games, because for real, at this point, if you're a sports fan, it's just worth having an Xbox and not a 360. There, I said it.
You don't think anyone's going to buy up the soccer rights exclusive?
They can't do it.
It's too many.
They can't
leagues.
Do it. It's too many leagues. And
a juggernaut too.
Yeah, no doubt. And realistically, when it breaks down and you look at it, a lot of the club teams from around the world, this is more than anybody probably needs to know, but a lot of the club teams from around the world own their own licenses. So when EA comes to them, they can't just get a license for the league like they do with the NFL.
Right, right.
They have to go to the league, and then they have to go to each individual team.
Oh, man.
So it's a real big process. It's why Winning 11 doesn't have all of the teams, like all of the British teams and all of the French and I think all of the German.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so there's that. Second little prediction I have. I don't know if anybody else has been following this guy online, but I've been following a guy who's been doing WeFitness.com.
Oh, yeah.
And for, like, the past 30 days, this guy has been 30 minutes a day going hard, playing four different Wii sports, and he's lost 9 pounds. And as a guy, and he's broken down how many calories he burned during what and all that kind of stuff. He's got video to back it all up. I think it's great. He's out in Philly. Big shout-out to that guy. He has inspired me. I see Wii Fitness clubs popping up everywhere. Y'all think I'm crazy? I'm trying to tell you, groups of people will start to congregate and do Wii sports in the morning, like Tai Chi in China. Watch what I say.
Are you going to open these clubs? Are you going to have a?
I might through use of my me help infiltrate that area. Yeah, you know, and spread around the seed and see what happens. But I think it's a great concept, and you know, the idea. It sounds kooky, but it's funny. You know, what I mean, realistically, this guy is losing weight. You can track and see the guy has lost weight. I think it's cool.
It gets you up.
Yeah, no doubt. My last prediction is, you know, this is one where I had to see deep in the crystal ball, but I feel as though in 2007, Barack Obama will use the Wii on the Colbert Report, and it will propel him to the presidency.
Whoa. What game is Barack Obama going to play?
Barack Obama and Stephen Colbert will play Wii Bowling. Those are some of my predictions for the year. I'm just, you know. We had to put the crystal ball away, and the NPR made us blow out all the smoke.
So that's kind of going to be like the Clinton playing saxophone on our Arsenio Hall moment.
Yeah, you. It made me vote for him. That's
just
all I'm saying.
Play the Wii.
Yeah, I stayed
like
up
the
there.
The Dukakis in the tank moment.
it's going to be one or the other.
Surfing moment.
Ooh.
One or the other.
Yeah, I don't know. That's just what I'm seeing, man. I'm telling you. You just watch what I say.
He's in touch with our generation. He's playing the Wii.
He's playing the Wii. Boom, I'm voting for him. All right, well. You know, we're just about out of time, and you've been listening to Press Start, an NPR podcast about the art and culture of video games. And, you know, we'll be coming back at you soon. I think our next one's going to be about rhythm games. So, you know, hit up the website, Rob.
It is at PressStartPodcast.com.
And where can they email us?
They can email us at feedback@PressStartPodcast.com.
There you have it. So hit us up. Give us some of your ideas and your games. And I think next episode we'll also respond to some of those letters that we got.
Yeah, we love hearing from you. So
yeah, definitely.
Send it in. Maybe you can get on the air.
Tell us how we're wrong. Thanks.
Or how we're right.
We're right?
Well, no accounting for
it. All right, till next time, guys. Peace.
Later.
Bye.
Alt, 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 alt,